All right, so you're a CEO. You submit the competition every day, but you don't really know anything about fighting.
Well, I would say I've had the opportunity. I trained under Hoist Gracie on the first.
You did?
Yeah.
Under him himself?
Yeah, under his camp.
All right, so if I, like, pushed you or something.
Like that?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. We're here, as always, in the beautiful barn in beautiful Pittsfield, Vermont. And as always, I am joined in this endeavor by Sephra, Joe DeSena, Johnny Waite. Behind the camera, we've got Marion, who I guess I don't often say, so I needed to make sure I said that. And this time around, we're going to be talking about Tim Gentry, CEO for hire, young gun for hire, a guy who can go out there and clean up whatever needs cleaning up. Is that correct?
Yeah, I always wonder about that, right? You find out there's these companies that are humming along, and all of a sudden they have a problem, and they quickly oust the CEO. Yeah. And I always wondered, does that make sense? Because the guy that's in there knows all the inner workings. They bring somebody new in, he's going to take so much time to get up and running. Are they better off just keeping somebody in? But I think what happens is it's hard for the person in there to make the tough decisions. Mm-hmm. They become emotionally attached to the employees, to the direction they're going. Somebody new comes in and just has a fresh perspective and just starts chopping heads.
And that's Tim. Let's find out
if that's how it works.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
Hey, we are here, Spartan Up the Podcast, with Tim Gentry, who's a CEO for hire.
So I'm chairman of the board.
Companies bring you in because you're the guy that gets it done.
Yes.
And you're from Australia, so you're obviously rugged. You probably played rugby. You look like an animal, right?
That's right. So I'm actually an American, but I lived overseas for the last 2 years in Australia, doing some transformation in a business there. Correct.
Nice. And how'd you become a CEO? How do people become a CEO for hire?
Well, as managing director or CEO of a company, it comes down to it's a lot of hard work. You know what? It's time of through schooling and, quite frankly, learning a lot of valuable lessons. Through my career, I've had a lot of great mentors and people that have shared with me some great knowledge. And I go to those people to this day, and they're the ones that really help me guide myself and help guide a company.
But you got to have a special stomach to be a CEO. Not everybody can be an entrepreneur or run a company, right? Because everything I found, anyway, that can go wrong does go wrong.
Absolutely. Right? So from a standpoint of it takes grit. Takes grit. I mean, at the end of the day, you're going to get knocked down. You got to get back up. You're going to be disappointed. At the same time, it's that energy you get when you're able to grow people and see people develop, and then you see the company develop, and that's really what charges you, gets you going.
What I seem to be on the I'm in the days right now where you get knocked down. I'm feeling a little knocked down, and you said you got to get back up, but. Boy, it's tough day after day, right? So I'm trying to figure out what's the difference between the guy or the girl that is able to keep getting back up and the one that isn't. What do you think that is? Where does that come from?
I think you're an individual contributor, but you're also a coach. And by the end of the day, if you're truly giving and developing people, you find that that's where your energy comes from. You take the time to realize the team around you, what they're doing, how you're impacting their lives. And with that, if you focus on that and let all the other stuff be outside of that, just be white noise and focus on the people and where you're going as a business. It truly will be your energy, and that's how you'll define your success.
What's interesting about that is I know we used to do these adventure races where we were a team of four. Invariably, somebody on the team is always hurting, exhausted, right? I don't want to take a nap. But if you took that person, even if it was me, and put them in charge of somebody, all of a sudden, you got energy again.
Yeah.
Right? Shackleton found that in his mission, right? He put the guys that were the weakest and were in trouble in charge of somebody else, and all of a sudden, you got energy. How does that happen? What happens there, you think?
Well, I think it comes down to, Shackleton's a great example. I mean, he understood that it does provide energy. When you have to be in the front and you're accountable for people, there's a good stress. It's that stress that they talk about. Coaches want your hands to be just a little bit sweaty before you touch the baseball bat. And that good stress is what gives you that energy, gets you moving. And at the end of the day, you become more part of the group. And the group sees that. And with that, you move forward, and so does the group.
You feed off them, they feed off you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, positive energy. So what's your next big thing?
My next big thing is will probably be from a physical standpoint. I try one or two a year, and we'll be training for obviously an Ironman after this. And from a continual success standpoint is, you know, I try not to keep it with my business life. I try to keep it broad. My job, I believe, is to find great people, get the most out of them, make their light bulbs brighter, and because of that, you develop the company, you develop the people, and you yourself grow.
How big of a business is it now that you're running?
We run a large share of business that I publicly can't tell you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because it's intertwined with the government.
That's right.
Right. But it's big.
Yes.
And that's why you got to stay fit.
Well, I would say fitness is one of the things I've seen is a lot of executives I've always thought were amazing and just very powerful. But you look at some of their challenges and their downfalls, they let their body go. You know, every day you're going to get caught in something. It's going to be another reason not to go work out, another reason not to do something. And you see them 5 or 6 months later, and it's the combination of the business is on top of them. Now they're unable to go as far and as much as they could because they're not in that shape. And you see it compounding. And I tell young executives all the time is spend time, do one thing a day. Just do one thing. Yeah. And that one thing is some type of exercise, push-ups, sit-ups. Because as soon as you fall out physically, all the science shows mentally you're unable to execute at that high level.
Well, people forget, right? The brain sits inside the body. And so if you don't take care of the body, how do you expect your brain to work at a very high level?
Absolutely. Right. It's connected. We're all very connected. And yeah. When we understand you're a connected organism, that you need to compete at a high level. I mean, I actually work very closely with doing mental tests with a company like Luminosity.com, focusing on working out every day, and then obviously doing my job, because you need to keep yourself in fit and mental mindset.
All right, let's take a break.
I hope you're not sitting still while you listen. If you are, you better get a burpee break in.
Let's talk about failure. You're obviously a super successful guy. You're super driven. You wake up every day. You work out. You always fit it in, even when you're traveling, whatever. Mm-hmm. You're getting the workout in. You do Ironmans. You must have some failures. Everybody does.
Absolutely. I can remember back, I mean, early in my life, you know, it's funny when you look back when you're young how important something is, but it was so crucial moment in my life. I'd gone to university to play football. And first year, I punctured my spleen. And the season was over before the season started. Worked all that year, put my body back together, came out for next year. Before the season started, broke my arm in half. Absolutely crushed me. And I still remember to this day, a lot of people told me, like, you know what? Stop. It's not for you. And it took a lot to make me think about my goals and what I was doing. And I came back my third year, spent that whole time reconstructing my arm, my body, ran every day, lifted, and frankly, it was, I came back and had a successful career, but it was, I think that was a defining moment. It's not about the sport I played, it was that I went through so many challenges to get there, and you have so many people that weren't for you, and you also remember the people that were for you. And I think about that in my personal life, because it's like, who are the people around you? You know, because you're going to fail. I can guarantee that to anyone. Nothing's going to go perfect. You look at anyone that's been very successful, you're always going to have failures. I've had them in my business career, and to the point where you go to zero, and you got to basically sit back, go to bed, wake up the next day and go, it's time to begin again. That's tough, and that defines what I think a great warrior, or quite frankly, someone that's going to be impactful to other people the rest of their lives.
It's interesting, because today, every kid gets a trophy.
Yeah.
Right? And so I don't know if we're developing the next set of children, the next generation that's able to break their arm or destroy their spleen like you did and then get back up and still be driven, right? Because we're not really training the kids for what real life is. What do you think of that?
I respect the psychology behind it, right? That everyone's a winner, but still at the same time is, you know, we shouldn't live sheltered lives. It's hard. I mean, it's hard. It's difficult. I mean, you know, you look at any great society, they came out of hardship and then became great. You know, it's not luck. Nothing. I mean, luck is just putting yourself in a position to be successful again and again. And you're lucky because you put yourself in a position. And I think that one of the things that parents or anyone that's helping their kids out is to teach them how to be competitive, to teach them to understand what winning is and what losing is, but also it's okay to lose. And that's the thing that I think we're missing is it's okay to lose. Next week, we didn't win as a team, but guess what? We're going to win. We're going to figure out a way what we did wrong and win again. Because if not, we think we're winning, but we're just not learning from our mistakes.
How do you get up in the morning when you don't want to? Everybody wants to know how to stay motivated on a day-to-day basis.
You know what? I have a simple solution to it. I don't know if it works for everyone. Is I actually write down monthly all the great things that are happening in my life. And I keep it next to my bed. I know it's simple. It's a simple cue card because there are some days you just don't want to get up and do something. And you look back and you're like, I have an amazing life. I have things are going great. You know what? Where I'm at in my career, what I've taken, and the blessings of people that have trusted me. And I look at that. And I don't always have to look at it, but sometimes you're like, I need it there. Because it just reminds you, like, this is where I'm at. Because so many people have invested in you, and you deserve that to them. But at the same time, is we live all great lives. We live in a great country. We have great opportunities. And we need to respect that and really think about that every morning.
How do you define grit?
Grit is when everything is wrong, you're knocked down, and nobody will see you, and you can just not get up. And grit is you stand up, you get back into what you're doing, you get back into where you're at, and you're back at 100% instantly.
Even when everything is wrong.
Absolutely. Yeah. Even when everything's wrong, no one's watching, you're still doing what you're doing, and even when you get knocked down.
Because it's about your desire, not about what other people are saying.
That's right.
And then we love to ask, what's your favorite exercise?
What's my favorite exercise? Would probably have to be the rowing machine. Mm. Love the rowing machine. It gives a little bit of everything, and it challenges you every day you get on it.
You ever read the blog, Will It Make the Boat Go Faster?
No, I haven't.
If you get a chance, you got to look at that blog. It's yeah, it's great. It's basically they wanted to win the Olympics at rowing. Uh-huh. And so they said for 4 years, we are going to ask ourselves a question every time we want to do something. Will it make the boat go faster? Right. You want to go to the movies tonight? Will it make the boat go faster? No, we're not going to the movies. That's how they answered every question, and they won.
So, that's very cool.
Give us your most difficult challenge in business. There's a lot of people out there that want to own their own business, or they do. And how'd you tackle it?
It's people. It's people. You know, there's obviously you can look at strategy, you can look at changing different things. It's the people around, right? How do you motivate the individuals? How do you get them on board? How do you get them to whatever you're seeing that they want to go with? And at the same time, too, is how do you make sure you're listening? I've seen too many leaders in my life, they don't listen. They spend all their time telling people what to do. It's the classic, you know, everything's a nail if you're a hammer, right? So think about how do you listen? So that's to yourself. But then how do you get your team on board? How do you make them believe in it? And I've had the opportunity of being a global executive, be in other cultures. How do I get someone from another culture? We're all the same. Is tell them why you're doing it. Be honest. Just be honest. Right. Tell them where you're going and reward the heroes. Reward people that did the thing. And when heroes don't always have to be the person that hits the home run or makes the touchdown. It could be the person that did the block.
Right.
And reward the heroes and take the time to do that, because that's what's important. And if you do that, people will believe in you, people will believe in where you're going, and they're going to go after it.
It's true, because it's so much more difficult to do everything by yourself, right? If you've got an army of people, you can get stuff done, but you got to get them to be rowing in the same direction.
Absolutely. You know, I look at a lot of small businesses and medium businesses. The biggest challenge they have is the person in control. They're amazing. They're a great executive. They know how to execute. But at the end of the day is they can't get people to work when they're not there. When they have to be there, if not, no one's moving. So how do you make them believe in something, a bigger power? And frankly, they want to beat the competition and they have a lot of fun in the process.
We might be your next hire.
Absolutely. It sounds good.
Good stuff.
Thanks, man. Really appreciate it.
Oh, Sephra, your continuity. You can't be wearing that. You weren't wearing the sort of this. Wow. I'm kidding. It doesn't matter.
Ready?
But you gotta get the bone back in your nose. So, hey, now I finally get who this guy is. He's in the start of all these podcasts, the intro, who grabs
the video
behind. And I also now understand why you're constantly stretching every time we take a break. What, did he break your neck?
Yeah, like we were just joking. And it turns out he's like a MMA jiu-jitsu freak. Yeah. And within a few seconds had me in this chokehold. My neck was bleeding. It was because he had a big watch
on.
Oh,
he scraped you.
Yeah, he got me good. Tough guy.
So clearly a guy who's not afraid to dive in and tie it up.
No, he gets in there. And as we said in the open, I think he's the kind of guy that a company needs that will have a fresh perspective and do the hard things. Because that's what happens when things get off track, right? You've got to make the tough decisions.
Well, I mean, but you talked about it earlier. Does it make sense to bring a guy in or do you do it from within? And I mean, I have no business background, so I have no idea. But I wonder when you bring a guy in from outside, does he see commonalities? If he doesn't, if he's done five of them, are there going to be common problems in a company that's having issues? So does he? Is he quicker to spot those problems because he knows right where to look?
I think when you're having business issues, they are recurring. In other words, they do happen over and over. They're very similar,
right,
in nature, and. And you probably see it in the military, right? Don't you have things that go off track in the military and they bring somebody in from another unit?
Well, no.
I mean,
in fact, that's exactly why we have you.
But what we do is a lot of training and a lot of external evaluations, which companies can't do. I don't know if they can do. But in a military, you pick up, you move, you'll go to what we call the National Training Center, Joint Readiness Training Center. And there are a team of professional evaluators. And virtually every 2-3 guys has somebody following them around for a week. Every little thing you do is getting evaluated and then recorded and then analyzed and then back in after-action reviews. And that's how you find out those problems.
I would love to see what mine would look like.
But the military has the ability to do that, you know, to run these kind of exercises. I corporations are kind of outside of my knowledge base, but I think that would be very hard to do for a lot of corporations.
What do you think about that, Johnny?
Well, going back to your point about you do it from the inside, you do it from the outside, obviously different situations are different. But your idea about that external review, here's a guy who's basically saying, I am your external review.
Yeah.
You know, hire me. I'm going to come in. I'm going to look at the things that you probably have blind spots for now. Years and years ago in a previous life, I used to sell real estate. And I would say to people, you're going to have to clean up this house before we put it on the market. They go, we did. And I'll say, what about that hose lying across the driveway?
Yeah.
That's all flattened because you've driven over it. And they don't even know it's there because it's been there for so long, right? And in a situation in a company where every day you're dealing with the same stuff, you just stop seeing some things. So you bring this guy in from the outside and he's going to see things that are glaringly obvious, but you don't even see because you've got these blinders on. So I see huge value in it. And obviously there's a skill to it. You know, you don't just bring anybody. And this is a guy who, what he's good at is coming to these situations. So he's going to be interviewing the right people in the company. He's going to be meeting with the outgoing CEO, whatever. So there's a real art to it.
I'll tell you what, I was lucky enough in Europe to go see another event company that puts on events, not like Spartan, but events. Mm-hmm. And it gave me a fresh perspective of what could be done. It's a very old company. They put on 200 plus events a year, and they just do things different. And had I not had that fresh perspective, right, you keep driving over the hose.
Yeah, exactly.
In the driveway. So
I love that.
So maybe there is. Maybe that's one of our new sayings.
I love all of our little inside things that nobody else knows what we're talking about, right?
So you get to drive over the hose. Yeah. No, I think it's really true.
Yeah, you get to drive over the hose. Well done.
But I think it's true because your baseline, right, your baseline changes, but also you forget what becomes your common surroundings. And I think awareness is a huge part about what the wheelchair has to do and always be seeing things that are at a baseline. And the thing I like about this guy is, who's obviously an Iron Man, is that he likes to have, he thinks there's good stress. We always say like how to not be stressed or how to not blah, 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 blah. He's like, you know what? Sometimes there's good stress. Like, mm-hmm. And he uses the example when your hands are sweaty before you hold the baseball bat.
Or when a stranger's just putting in a choke grip.
Yeah, or when a stranger puts you there. Yeah, good strike.
I got sweaty and bloody quickly.
Yeah, sweaty and bloody quickly. But you know, I think my favorite quote that this guy said is like his job is to find great people and help their light bulbs burn a little brighter. Yep. And right now for this podcast, these lights are pretty bright. but that's a lovely thing to say. And I think his intention is just to help, you know.
Yeah. And obviously a guy who's got the confidence to do it, right? And you have to have that confidence if you're going to come in, make tough calls. But the people that you're keeping, help them shine brighter. So Cool.
With that said, you can learn more at SpartanUpPodcast.com. For those watching, we do not have a makeup crew, yet we look fantastic.
We do look fantastic.
I tried to put bronzer on them.
Because of Marion and After Effects editing.
Thank you for listening to another epic story of success.
If you like our message, tell your friends about Spartan Up, then go subscribe on iTunes, YouTube, or wherever you catch our show.
The Spartan Up Podcast is brought to you by Spartan.
To find a race near you, visit Spartan.com.